Peter chapter 5. Again, we've been preaching through this book, and we're just about done with this. Well, I thought we were going to be done with this a lot sooner than what we are, but here we are. We're down to the verse number 7 tonight. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7. And really, what he's talking about, we've said this practically every time that we've mentioned it, we've mentioned our text, that it's a message that Peter is preaching to preachers. All right? I think sometimes that preachers need to be preached to because we're people too. We're just like everybody else. There's no difference in us at all. No difference at all. We're going to read verse 6, down to verse 11 once again tonight. The Bible said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." We talked about this morning how that when the due time is, you know when that is? That's not now. That's not while you're living upon this earth. That's later when you die. After you die, then you'll be exalted, not before. All right. The Bible said, "Casting all your care," this is what preachers ought to do, "casting all their care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory and by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." We have to say again in verse number 10 that suffering is upon this earth. As long as you're upon this earth, there's going to be some kind of suffering you're going to have to go through. You have to endure it. This is it. As long as you're upon this earth, there's some kind of physical suffering, some kind of spiritual suffering, some kind of anxiety. That's what we all face that. We all do. And so, understand that. So it's not going to be ended while we're here upon this earth. It will be ended later. All right? Let's go on in a word of prayer as we begin tonight. I pray, Father, that You might help me tonight to preach Your Word Your way, or that Your name might be glorified and Your name might be honored. Lord, I pray that we might be found faithful to You as we live upon this world. Lord, knowing, Lord, that You're the one that can bless, You're the one that can keep, and Lord, You're the one, Lord, not us. I pray that You help us tonight to be found faithful and obedient to You. Just bless us now. Keep us from harm. Help us be faithful to You tonight. Lord, for those who are lost, we pray, Lord, that You might touch their heart tonight with the free gospel. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Verse number 7 starts out, says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." There's two thoughts there in this one sentence. Casting all your care upon Him. That's our part. Our part. The thing that we're supposed to do is to cast all of our care upon Him. And secondly, is the second part of the verse, is "for He careth for you." That's God's part. We must do what God wants us to do first. We must do it because He cares for us, because we understand that He cares for us. When the Bible says casting all your care upon Him, that the word "cast" means to toss. It means don't hold on to those things at all. Don't hold on to them. You know, sometimes I'd rather worry about something than have to cast it to the Lord. Have you ever woke up at night? And your worries just get bigger and bigger as you think about them. In the morning, they're gone. Listen, we'll reverse that process. We'll have to let the Lord take care of things. He can watch over many, many things. So, I don't think we ought to throw them at Christ. I don't think it means that. Not, not, not to throw them at Christ, right? But we're to toss them to Christ. Give them to Christ, all right? Don't just say, Lord, here they are. I'm throwing them at you. Don't do that. But give them to Him. He wants those things. That's what we need to do every day. The cares, the troubles, the problems, the things we have in our life, we need to let the Lord have control of those things. You know, we're actually helpless to do anything about it. We're unable to do anything at all. We need to trust in the Lord. Look in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. The Bible here talks about 24 elders that cast their crowns before the Lord. He is the one that can take care of them. Nobody else can. In Revelation 4 and verse number 10, the Bible said here, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne. And God is sitting on the throne. He is in control of everything. And we need to cast all of our care unto Him. The Bible said, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, to worship the Lord, and cast their crowns before the throne. So even if God has given you great things in your life, what should you do with those things? Cast them before the throne. Let the Lord have them. Saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Whenever we receive anything from God, it's not because we deserve it. It's rather because He loves us. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to understand how much He loves us and just cast everything to Him. These 24 elders, they are, I think, the saved of all representatives of all of the ages. They were able to cast all of their crowns, all the things that God had given to them, unto the Lord. That's what we all do. Just give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He can take care of it, and He can watch over us. He's real good at that. I'm glad that He... Look at the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Proverbs, chapter number 3. And the Bible here, in this place, tells us practically the same thing. In Proverbs 3, the Bible said in verse number 5, And these are just lessons. These are practical lessons that we as God's people need to learn to do. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is a really, really good book. You can take them just like vitamin pills, one a day. All right, it's good for you. The Bible said in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. So we need to trust in the Lord and only in Him. And lean not. Sometimes I want to try to figure everything out. But we shouldn't do that. We need to trust the Lord and live by faith. Not by sight. Not by our understanding. Rather, it's by God's understanding that we live. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sometimes, if we lean to our own understanding, we want to direct our own paths. See that? Verse 5, verse number 6. We need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let God do with us what He wants to do. See, I don't understand what God has on His mind. Listen, I don't either. That's the truth. All I do is every day, I want to do what God wants me to do every day. That's it. I want to trust the Lord with all of my heart. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge God, for He shall direct my path. God will do that if I trust in Him. The Bible says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? In verse number 8, it tells us this. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The Bible says that the Lord cares for us. The Bible says in this place that it shall be health to our navel and marrow to our bones. If we just trust the Lord, it will help. Everybody has things in their life. Everybody has things they don't want to happen to them. I wish I could tell you that if you were simply saved, if you were scripturally baptized, if you were serving the Lord the way He wants you to serve Him, I wish I could tell you that you have no troubles at all. But it don't work that way. You have a bunch of troubles. That's the way it is. But when you have troubles, if you just carry those to the Lord and you don't throw them at Him, but you cast those to Him, as it says in the book of 1 Peter. You cast them to the Lord. It shall. God then will give you help to your navel. And He will give you marrow to your bones. God will make your life satisfied. God will do that. Because your trust is in God and not in things. Things don't ever go right. They always mess up some way. Help to thy navel. You know, I can think about worrying and how worry makes your stomach hurt. Does that ever happen to you? It does to me. But many, many health problems. This is a side product, you might say. But many health problems are caused simply by worrying and anxiety and all that kind of stuff. God says, cast all your cares upon the Lord and I will take care of you. But I tell you what, God wants you to trust Him before He ever takes care of anything. You cannot, it don't work the other way. It don't work with the way that we want to do it. Sometimes we won't have in our minds that God cares for us first. And then we cast, no, don't work that way. We cast all our care on the Lord because God can take care of us. I tell you what, the disciples learned this invaluable truth. But physically, it helps us. Spiritually, it helps us. Physically, it helps us. Marrow to their bones, this is where healthy blood is produced. God can take care. God can take care of us. I'm glad that He can. But notice the second part of the verse 7. The first part says, casting all your care upon Him. And the reason for that is this. For He cares for you. He cares for you. You know, in this life, we see things differently than God sees them. God is on His throne. And He sees all of us. He sees this whole world. And I see what's in front of me. You know? That's all I can see. That's all I can handle. But God, He sees everything. I mean, He sees everything. We must realize that God cares for us. It's like this. It really matters to God what happens to us. Think of how much that He loves us. of all the people upon the face of this earth, of all the people, the millions of people, God dealt with me when I was lost and He brought me to salvation. He laid a burden upon my heart to preach the gospel. And not only that, God gave me a place to preach. And He has shown me in that, that He's going to take care of me the rest of my life. However long or how short it is, it don't make any difference to me because I know where I'm going. Right? I know when I finish this life where I'm going. That gives me great confidence. I don't have a God that does not understand. He knows what I'm going through. He knows. And He cares for me. It's amazing that I need to be reminded of how much that He cares for me. It's amazing. Do you ever need to be reminded of how much that Christ cares for you? Look at this. Look at the verse. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him. The verse doesn't end there. Because He cares for you. And who are you? Who are you? What do you have about yourself that you can bring before God and say, Lord, I'm really a good person. Maybe a great big bundle of stuff you would take to the Lord and say, I'm a real good person. No. Isn't it amazing how much that He cared for us and how terrible that we really are? I mean, it's unreal. It is unreal how much that He loves us, how much He cares for us. But it's amazing to me that we need to be reminded that Paul had to remind these preachers, hello, God inspired Peter to write to preachers, and he wanted to write to preachers that God cares for preachers. Isn't that amazing? Do preachers ever forget that? Do preachers ever really forget that God cares for them? You can't answer that one, can you? I can. I said, yeah. Yeah, the way it is. We can forget how much God cares for us. You know who we really ought to be more like? I think, that's my personal opinion, that we ought to be more like the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know what his name was? I don't know, but I think it's John. I don't know. I think John stood amazed at the love of God. That God loved him so much. He didn't never call himself John. He called himself the one that Jesus loved. But of course, really, we have so much pride. Oftentimes, we think, why shouldn't God love me? After all, I'm a pretty good guy. Until we really realize how we stand up before God. We're no good at all before Him. It's amazing that God cares for us. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. What God said. And here in Hebrews 13, he's talking about how the brotherly love in verse number 1 ought to continue. How we ought to really be what God wants us to be. And he says in verse number 5, let your conversation, let your way of life be like this. Let it be without covetousness at all. And be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You understand that? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How many of us have ever done anything to cause Jesus Christ to say that? I'm glad there's no hands raised. Because we haven't done anything at all. I mean, He has loved us. And He says, after He loved us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Think of this. Before the crucifixion of Christ, Jesus Christ told the disciples, all of you will be offended because of me this night, and all of you are going to run off. At the very time when it seemed like that Christ would need somebody to stand with Him and for Him, all of His disciples went away from Him. If you were a disciple, would you go away from Christ too? Be careful. Be real careful. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ would never, ever leave us. He'll never do that. He is the kind of God. He's a marvelous Savior to us. He is one who has died on the cross of Calvary, not because of His sins, rather He died because of our sins, my sins. One particular. It was mine, not somebody else's, that caused Him to go away. But this is an amazing thing for me, that Peter writes to preachers, and Peter tells preachers this. He says in verse number 7 of 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Listen, there's a lot of anguish. There's a lot of turmoil in preaching and pastoring. It's not all roses. It's not, besides that, if I'm not mistaken, there may be some today that don't have this, I don't know, but I think every rose bush has the thorns, right? I mean, that's the way it is. You smell the good rose and you turn over and there's a, sticks you right there. That's the way it is. We need that. We need the Lord more than anything else. It's amazing that He may exalt you in due time. Look in verse number 8, 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He says, be sober. In other words, understand what you're up against. Understand this. He's not talking about not being drunk. He doesn't mean that at all. He means to be fully aware of what's happening around you. Be aware of this. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary is the devil. The adversary is one we're fighting, not fellow Christians. We're not fighting people. I've been the pastor of a church that had some lost people as members. I've been the pastor of a church that has some ornery, I mean some ornery, lost people as members. And they always try to get their way. But remember this. Who is our real adversary? Who is the one that we're really fighting? This is it. It's not people. It's not people. We need to be above that. We need to be above fighting people. We're not supposed to be doing that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who is the devil, he's the one. He is the one. The devil is out to get us. But the Bible makes this very interesting statement about the devil. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, this afternoon, I was sitting up here looking at these notes and asked Melinda, or Brianna, I got that wrong, it's Brianna. I asked her, if you were a lion, how would you attack a rabbit? So I'll ask you the question. If you were a lion, how would you attack a rabbit? How would you do it? Would you roar and then jump on them? I said, no. How would you do it? Would you sneak up? You seen that? You sneak up real quiet, get real close, and then jump on them, and then when they're dead, why does the Bible say this is different? The Bible says Satan is a roaring lion. Why is that different? Why is it different? I tell you why. Because Satan is already pounced. You know when he pounced? Can we read it to you? Satan's already pounced. If you think that you're not in the grasp of Satan, you're sadly mistaken. Let me read it to you. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. I'll tell you what. This is what happened in this day. Genesis 3 and verse number 4. Here it is. Satan snuck up on the woman. He snuck up on her. That's exactly what happened. He was real cunning. He was real slick. He took a step at a time. He got right up there. And he said, you shall not surely die. That's right. He said, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And she was sucked into his lie. I tell you what, he's got us. Satan has us because we have the sinful nature that's come upon us. He has already got us. And he is screaming. I mean, Satan is making a loud cry because he thinks he has the victory. I'll tell you where the victory is. It's not in this life. The victory is when we're dead. When we have done and been faithful to God. I'll tell you what, you think of this. Stephen was a man who had stood for God and did what God wanted him to do. He was a man who preached the Word of God. He was a man who was faithful to God. And his last message is even recorded for us in the book of Acts. It's recorded there. We could know it. But when Stephen was stoned, you can still read that in the Bible. I mean, it is still there. And what was his final words? Not his final words, his next to the final words. When he said, I see the Lord standing. You know, Satan was trying to end his life. And Satan was victorious in that ending his life on this earth. But Satan was not victorious in the final victory at all. Why? It's because of Jesus Christ. Because He overcome all that. Think of this. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you have a purified life. I know we want to believe. I know we want to believe that. I'm about as good as they get, right? Hardly. I know you're grinning at me, but that, you know, because you know me. But one of these days, when all this is done, when I'm with the Lord, then I'll have the real victory. It's not now. It's not now. This is what Peter writes to these preachers. He writes to them and tells them, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who is the devil is the one that you're fighting. It's not people. It's not your congregation. Alright? It's not that at all. We need to understand that. Sometimes people in the congregation have some weird ideas that after we think about it for a while, we wish we'd have thought of it. It's a good idea. But it's not ours. But sometimes we're just fighting the wrong people. We're fighting the wrong one. We need to understand that the congregation is not your enemy. It's what Peter's saying here. The congregation is not your enemy. The congregation is just people. But our great adversary is the devil. He's the one. The devil wants you to be content with his lies. That's like when Adam's wife, when she listened to him and she took of the forbidden fruit and she ate of it, that cast all of us into sin. And think about Adam and Eve. After that, she was named Eve after that. But they lived. Adam lived for 930 years. You know what he saw? He saw his family torn apart. Really. He saw the seed of God and he saw the seed of the devil. I mean, that's what he saw. Do you think that had any kind of bearing at all upon him? Do you think that hurt him at all? I think it did. Because he knew whose fault it was. He knew he had transgressed the very thing that God told him not to transgress. He knew that. I think he was a heartbroken man because of that sin that he saw coming upon people. But the Bible says here, in verse number 8, 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Did you know what? Satan is not hiding. Boy, he is not hiding. We talked about this some this afternoon, as some of you were discussing some things. But Satan is not hiding. He is doing his abominations right out in public. Think about homosexuality. Think about abortion. All those terrible, terrible sins. He's even made people think that we're wrong because we don't believe in that stuff. I mean, there it is. Terrible, terrible things. Satan is not hiding. Why? Because he's got us where he's got this world where he wants it. But our place in all this is that since we're saved by the grace of Almighty God, we need to look to God continually and cry out unto God, casting all of our care upon Him, for He careth for you. Understand that in all the things of this world, we need to do what God wants us to do because God cares for us. Satan has not changed. He makes us think he has, but he has not changed. He's now as a roaring lion. He's walking about. He's walking. He's not running. Satan's not in any kind of big hurry. He is not running around. He is walking about. What's he doing? He's seeking whom he may devour. It don't make him any difference who it is. Listen, Satan will get you. You might say, Satan will never bother me because I'm saved. Listen, Satan don't care. Do you think... I'm thinking about Lot, who is a man, a righteous man, who didn't do what God wanted him to do. That's what I'm thinking about. When you do what's right, always do what's right. He's not in any kind of hurry at all. He's walking around. Satan lays traps. Satan sets a trap. Waiting patiently for somebody to fall in. Satan is like a game hunter who sets a trap and waits on an animal to come around and to stick their foot in the trap to get hung, to get caught. That's what he's like. And he wants us. No doubt about it. Think of this. You say, well, I'm too old to fall for any of Satan's traps. I'm too old. Let me ask you a question. How old was King David when he fell for Bathsheba? How old was he? If you don't know how old he was, you might say, well, he's about 20. You missed it a little bit. He died when he was 70. You need to figure out how old he was. I'll tell you what. I think David was about 50 when he looked at Bathsheba. And he sinned. Don't think that you can get away with anything. It really don't make any difference how old you are. It don't make any difference. I mean, Satan's out to get you. And he wants to ruin you. You know, it's so important that we understand this very vital fact. Satan is out to get preachers. I know, Derek, in my ministry, I have known many, many preachers, many of them. One week, I heard of three different ministers, three different pastors, who had some kind of blatant sin in their life that had dropped out of the ministry. There's three of them. You know what they do today? They just keep on. They just keep on. Today, there's no qualification for the ministry, right? I mean, there's none at all. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. Have two or three wives, that's fine. I tell you what, God don't want that. He don't want that. God wants you to be found faithful and true and right before Him in everything. The Bible said this. What are we supposed to do in verse number 8 when the Bible says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible said here, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You've got to resist Satan. Boy, this gets into a real kicker thing here to me. Because what do you spend your lifetime doing? What is it that you spend your lifetime doing? Now, look at the book of James. In the book of James, real quick. In the book of James, chapter number 4. I read a book a long time ago It was about fighting the devil. And I wanted to win the battle over the devil. I wanted to do that. But I think this guy had it wrong. He used this passage. James 4 and verse number 7. He said this. The Bible says here, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So I want the devil to flee away, right? That's what you want. So, this man said in the book, he said, here's a way to make the devil flee. Tell him to go away. That's what he said. I see you grinning. That don't work very good, does it? You ever tried that? What did he do? Why should I go away, he says. I got you. Why should I go away? Look what the Bible said here in verse number 7. The Bible says what we ought to do before we ever try to resist the devil. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Period. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The only way the devil will ever flee from you is when you submit yourself to God first. That's the only way it'll ever work. Listen, when temptations and trials come along in your life, this is what God is telling us today. When trials and troubles and temptations come along in our life, if you try to resist those temptations without submitting yourself to God, you're going to fall for the temptation. That's what's going to happen. But if you busy yourself in submitting yourself to God, it won't be long until you'll be saying, what temptation are you talking about? That's what happened. If we submit ourselves to God first, then we're able to resist the devil. You know why? It's because we resist the devil, not because of our power, rather it's because of God's power. If you trust in yourself, no way. Remember that the devil is like a roaring lion. You know why he's roaring? He's already got you. Our power is not in us. Our power is in Christ and Christ alone. That's it. He's the master. We're the servants. That's it. We trust in the Lord and the Lord God alone. That's it. I mean, that's it. Well, I will read to you one other passage. I say our time is gone, but read one other passage. The book of Jude, verse number 9. And this kind of backs up what I just got through saying. That's why I want to read this verse to you. Jude, verse number 9. The Bible said here, in verse number 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a rating accusation. So even Michael did not get on to Satan real hard. But he said, the Lord rebuke thee. He did not say, I am going to really get you now. No. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. Why? Who's in charge? God's in charge. He's the one. He's the one who watches over everything. Nobody else. That's why he had the victory here. And that's how we're going to have the victory in our lives. When we submit ourselves to Almighty God first, then we can have power. And that's the only way that we can have power at all. In the book of 1 Peter 5 and verse number 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So everybody goes through the same thing. That amazed me. When I was a young boy, I was having a bunch of trouble. I mean a bunch of trouble. And it was just about temptations and all that kind of stuff. And then when I realized that other people had the same thoughts I was having. And when I saw that, what was a real big help to me? Not because there's help in an abundance of misery, not because of that at all. Rather, it's because those people had the same trouble I had. And I tell you what, that's where we are. We all have the same difficulties. There's no escaping that at all. No escaping at all. All right, we're going to quit right there. But if you're lost tonight, we pray for you that the Lord would touch your heart, knowing that the devil has you already. But you need to cry out to God. Because only the Lord can save your unworthy soul. Only that's where the victory is in the Lord. It's not in us. The victory is in the Lord. So tonight, if you're lost, you need to trust Him. Trust Jesus Christ. And He can wash away your sins. He can do it. Our prayers are for you, that the Lord would bless you tonight with salvation. Okay, Brother Jeremy, would you come please, and as we stand and sing this song, pray that the Lord will help.